right. As you're taking your Bibles to turning to Proverbs chapter 15, I want to encourage you, as I have mentioned in the coming weeks, in the past weeks, about being here on Wednesday night, as Pastor Wayne Van Gelder is going to be with us. I don't really think that you know what a treat it is that Pastor Van Gelder is going to be here. If I could say this, not bringing any glory to a man, because he would say no. The only reason why he is what he is because of a good God. That's all it is. And he's been faithful to God and his word, but it's tremendous. I will say this. Again, I'm not trying to show you that this is some mighty man, but I'll say he's probably in our circles, in independent fundamental Baptist conservative circles, he's one of the leading pastors in our country and one of the most well-respected pastors in our country. And right now, God is using him in a great and mighty way, even in the more the liberal Christian circles. And when I say that, nothing for you to be alarmed at, but it's amazing how he is stuck firm and stuck to what is right. And some of the liberals and some of the new evangelical young men that are coming up are wondering why he's doing what he's doing. And it's kind of amazing. He has been able to be used to go and travel across the country and even speak in some of these other churches and some of these groups of young men that are kind of wondering why is he staying so conservative. And it's kind of amazing the opportunity that God has given to him to speak to some of these groups of people. And it just shows that God lifts up his own to those who stay faithful to him. And he is. And so, again, I'm not saying you need to come because this is, you know, you're going to get a picture with Pastor Van Gelder. And I'm not saying that. But this amazing thing is going to be here. And it is amazing that he's a pastor that's very dedicated to his ministry. He rarely gets out in one of his services, you know, to miss, to be here at a place. And he has taken the time to come and be here with us, to spend some time with me. And what a tremendous privilege it is. I want to encourage you to be here as Pastor Van Gelder will speak to us on Wednesday night in corporate prayer, the why it's so important that we as a church get together and pray. And he's excited about it. I'm excited about it. I hope that you would get excited about coming and being here Wednesday night. Please come, and it'll be a blessing to you and an encouragement. Proverbs chapter 15, we looked this morning at the wise tongue, and we have seen ways in which we ought not use our tongues and ways in which we ought to use our tongues. We want to encourage and be a blessing to somebody. And I don't think there's anybody in the room that cannot say that at some point in time somebody came along and used their tongue in a right way and was a very big blessing to them and encouraged them in the things of the Lord. Maybe it was telling them about Jesus Christ. Maybe it was giving the gospel. Maybe it was somebody just encouraging you. You were down and discouraged and needed help, and they came along and gave you an encouraging word. Maybe gave you counsel and how you can get victory over certain areas in your life. No doubt there's probably every one of us has used an encouraging tongue to meet needs. But I could probably say that every person in the room has probably been met with a tongue that wasn't so helpful and was in fact hurtful. And you know how rough it was when you got those words that were very difficult and hurtful. And it can be a difficult thing. Folks, our tongues are an important thing. But tonight we want to look at another element, and that's the ear. And we're not going to talk about what you ought to listen to, what you ought not listen to, what kind of music you ought to listen to, and what programs on the television you ought to turn off. That's not the point when Proverbs deals with the ear. So we're going to look at the wise ear this evening, and the focus, as I mentioned earlier, is on how we take counsel, how we take when somebody comes and tries to encourage us in a certain way. How do we take reproof when somebody talks to us and tells us about something? What is your response going to be? And that's what we're looking at tonight with the ear. We just have a couple points tonight. This is much smaller, even though the topic is just as big. But and there's actually even more verses in Proverbs 15 than the tongue. So on the ear than the tongue. But just a couple points. As I tried, they really revolve around just one or two things. And so we're going to look at 2 points this evening. First of all, the concern of the ear. The concern of the ear. Look at Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 5. You'll see what I mean here in just a moment when I say the concern of the ear. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 5. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Now, you'll be quick to notice that this is referring to a father and probably then a son or a daughter. Okay, children, father and children. But we could say that it'd be anybody that would give us reproof, anybody that is authority. Maybe they're not an authority. Somebody that would talk to us and tell us about an area in our life that maybe we would need to change. Now, he says, a fool despiseth his father's instruction. The word despiseth is to reject with disdain. Boy, oh, that, why did that person have to tell me that? I don't like that. It's contempt. It's to abhor what was given to them. We look at some practical examples of this. Of course, the easiest one to look at in this passage is from a parent to children. And there are not many children in the room, but children, now let me ask you a question. How do you listen to your parents' correction or instruction? Or in the second part of the verse, it says reproof. You know, we could look at these and they're all a little bit different. Instruction would just be a teaching. You know, when your parents teach you something, children, teens, how do you take that? Is it something that you welcome? So, wow, I really appreciate knowing this. Or is it something you say, I don't need that. Why are they telling me that? Why don't they go practice what they preach? There's a couple different ways that we can take that. Children, whatever age you are in the room, I want to warn you against this because it's a very serious thing. You know, when God speaks to us and he speaks to us to our authority, and again, right now we're just using the illustration of children. We'll move on to something else, husbands and wives and different relations. But right now, children, teens, young people, and parents dealing with this issue, you know, we can take the reproof, take the instruction, or we can reject it. Now this word that's used here, the fool despiseth, that's a rejection. I take what they said, but they don't know what they're talking about. A fool despiseth his father's instruction. Did you hear that, teens, young people? God just said that you're a fool when you despise it. When you reject what a parent or an authority tells you, you are acting as a fool. There's a couple different ways you can do that. You can do it outwardly. You can tell them, you know, verbally, and say, I don't want that. Why don't you go mind your own business? Now, I hope that we don't have any young people in the room that's the way you deal with it, but I'll tell you what, you can reject it in your heart, and you're still just as wrong. Now, if your parents tell you to do something, and you take it, and you say, why do they tell me that? And you stomp off to your room and get upset. Inside, maybe you don't stomp. Maybe you just walk. And inside, you're stomping. Inside, you're upset. Inside, you're rejecting. The Bible says that you're a fool. You're a fool in doing that. Let's not be considered fools. The concern of the ear. And really what we're dealing with, what really concerns you? You see, the opposite of that is welcoming what, okay, my father is speaking to me. My mother is speaking to me. She's teaching me. She's telling me something. You know, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing, parents or adults, if we had young people that when we spoke, it was almost as if, quick, stop, hold it, let me get a notebook. Any of that happen to you, parents? I don't know, you know, if that happens. But can you imagine? And I'm not suggesting, young people, that you stop and run and get a notebook. But I'm talking about an attitude here. You see, there's a young person that says, listen, I'm concerned about learning. You know what? As you were here, as an adult, when you were younger, you probably did some despising of instruction and knowledge as well. I know I did. You know, I don't know that I looked at my parents and got upset at them, but there were just some things that I thought, you know what, that's not a big deal. I remember going through school and thinking, that's not a big deal, and even listening to my instructors and my teachers telling me things, and I regret that so bad. Young people, listen to me. I regret that so bad, and I think that I could get another group of people in here that would say the same thing that are adults. I wish I could go back and learn. I wish I could go back. You know, right now, history was one of the things that I didn't really give much about in school. Now as an adult, I sit there and think, oh, I would love to sit through a history class. I would love to study, you know, the world wars. I would love to study the Civil War. I'd love to study, you know, early American heritage and all of that. I would love to sit down and probably if I could sit down and have a teacher, have somebody that was an expert on it, I would be taking notes. I would be learning all I could. I would try to record it. You see why? I right now have a concern for it. I think it's valuable. I think it's tremendous. We can gain from it. You see the difference? A young person that says there's nothing good to that, there's no gain from it. What I did in school, I said, listen, this isn't going to affect my life. I cared about just a few other things for myself. And so the question is really, what are you concerned about? Young people, we need to be concerned about our authority. Now, why do I need to be concerned about what my authority is saying? Let's consider where our authority comes from. Romans tells us where our authority comes from. The book of Romans tells us, says that our authority comes from God. Now, young people, listen to this. When our parents are teaching us, they're instructing us, they're giving us reproof, we can might as well take that from who? Young people, this is from God. God is talking. You see, it's a big deal to disregard reproof. I want to encourage you, young people, when your parents or your authority talks to you and teaches you, that you don't despise it, don't reject it. No, instead, we ought to listen to it. This is a fool. They're not concerned about what they're being taught. Let's move on. We will come back to the children here in a little bit. But husbands and wives, you say, what does this have to do, you know, with me? This passage is saying a father's instruction. I ask you a question. Can instruction be valuable? Instruction doesn't have to come from an authority. Instruction is, we can learn from anybody, can't we? We can learn from different people, maybe not even educated. We can learn. You know, I could learn from any of you on different things in your life. Not that we're all experts in different things, but I could single some of you out and I could say, you know what, I could probably learn this from you and I could learn this. You know, we ought to have this concern and attitude of learning. That God refers to that as the wise person. The fool disregards it. The fool says, I don't want it. The wise person says, listen, I want to hear. I want to increase in learning. And by the way, children, teens, you ought to be getting everything you can. Everything that comes across, you know, in our circles, we need to be getting. Your parents speak, your teacher speaks, your pastor speaks. You ought to be getting that, and you ought to be studying it out, and you ought to be learning that so that it will become part of you. Husbands and wives, you know, what about you? How do we have a concern and a care for what our spouse can teach us and show us? And, you know, some of us husbands and men, we think that, you know, our wives, you know, we're the teacher to them and they need to listen to us. I want to tell you something. We need to be very careful not to listen. Men, I'm talking to you. Husbands, I'm talking to you. We need to listen to our wives. Now, listen to this. I've told some of you this before, but every time that Melissa and I were making a decision and trying to discover what God had for us in our lives and little things or big things, and we were praying about it, and we decided to talk. And it's amazing, men, you can relate with me. Maybe some of you ladies would relate. But it's amazing how so many times I formulate my own opinions and my own thoughts and what we ought to do before I even go and talk to Melissa about it, our wives. Many times I think through what might be right. I might begin to pray. But I go home, and there are sometimes I'm eager and excited to talk to my wife. Sometimes I'm like, she's never going to go for this. You know, I don't know if she's going to take that. I don't know if she's going to go for it. But I'll tell you what, there's sometimes she says, one thing she always says is we need to pray about it. And by the way, men, don't get offended when your wife says that. We ought to pray about it. You know, and sometimes that's one of the last things we as men do is we take time to pray about things. We need to go to the Lord. But that's not the point here that I'm trying to make from this passage. I want to say this. We are fools when we don't take into consideration what our wives have to say. Did you hear that? We're fools when we're not willing to listen. We're fools when our wives come to us and talk to us. You know what? Should we ought to pay more attention to doing this or to doing that or to do a better job at getting this in? Shouldn't we pay? Shouldn't we be doing this? And I will tell you this. This is from my own personal experience. That every time I decided that I was right, let's say we didn't quite get it, and I thought that I was just going to do it anyways, regardless of what she said. Every single time that I acted independently for my wife and I made a choice and did something that she wasn't quite on board with, every single time I regretted it. Every time. But I'll tell you this, there have been times when I have consoled my wife, we've talked about it, and maybe the conclusion wasn't exactly what I wanted. In fact, maybe it was like, I really wanted to follow through with that, but no, there's wisdom. We did it every single time that we talked together and we did it together. The point is not to lift up my wife or to lift up the wives. The point is togetherness. We can learn. We need to not act independently, but be together on it. And every time that I listened and took her advice, I was never disappointed. Why? It comes from the principle that we see here. A fool is one that doesn't care about learning. It's that proud man. And by the way, ladies, we can do the same thing. You can do this, and my husband, well, he's not walking with the Lord. I can't get anything from him. Listen, you ought to listen to your husband. God can use your husband. And we ought to work together and get that understanding. Listen, there is learning that you can have from your spouse. Let's not be fools and say, listen, I'm not concerned with that. I know what I know. I believe what I believe. I'm not going to listen. No, we can learn. Consider and work together on the matter. That's the wise ear. A wise ear is going to be concerned and is going to listen. You know, Christians here at church, we need to be concerned and listen to what other people have to say. You know, we disagree about certain things and one person might do something different, but can we learn from other people here in our church? You know, it'd be very foolish to think that you have everything figured out and I can't learn from somebody. And I'll tell you what, as a pastor, I try to learn as well. I might be having a conversation with a man, you know, in the foyer after the evening service. And I'll tell you, I'm not gonna, you know, play games. If somebody gives me something I hadn't considered before, you know what? I need to study that. But that's a good thought. You know, it'd be wrong for me as a pastor to think that, oh, nobody else has any wisdom or understanding. No, we can all gain. The idea that comes from this is that we not disregard it and cast it away because we know. See, really the hard issue here is pride. We don't think that we need anything else. No, this is the fool, and the fool is not concerned about learning anything else. Young people, you're a fool if you don't want to learn anything else. You think that you know everything. Husbands and wives, you're a fool if you think that you can go on and not learn anything from your husband or wife. People at church, you are a fool in not learning from other people that are going through difficult things and things in their lives at church. You know what? And say, you know what? This person thinks that we ought to do this. You know what? Forget them. Do you see the way they act? Listen, learn from the people that are here. Let's learn to regard that. What does the end of the verse say? But he that regardeth reproof is prudent. This is the other side of things. The young person that regards it is prudent. The husband that regards it is prudent. The wife that regards it is prudent. The church member that regards it is prudent. The word regardeth means to keep or to guard. It's not just here, but it's to keep, to guard, to treasure up. You get the picture here. We ought to treasure when people give us knowledge. You know, they say that readers are a little bit, you know, the more they read, the more knowledge they get because they listen and they learn. Now, we need to be very careful with what we're reading and what we're getting. Okay, I'm not a proponent of just reading every book in the world because then we'll be the smartest. We can go off on getting all of the materials that are out there. Be careful what you're reading. But folks, I want to tell you, you have a good base of figuring out what is good material to read. When you read that, you can learn a lot. And that's why they say readers are the ones that really gain a lot of knowledge. You read a lot because you learn a lot. You're exposed to a lot. And a lot of times readers are reading why? Why do readers read? Because they want to acquire. You see, there's a concern for gaining that knowledge. And that's this first point. There's a concern. I want to learn. I want to gain more. I want to study. I want to discover. I'm not just okay with it. I want to get. Now the second half of this verse says, but he that regardeth, that's not just listens to. You know, young people, it's not regarding when you sit there and your parents are talking, you're sitting there going like this. You know, and your attitude is saying, I just can't wait till you get done talking. Young people, listen. That's a fool. You're not listening. You're not concerned with what they're saying. Young person, it's not right when your parents are sitting there talking to you and you've got some gadget in your hand and you're sitting there doing other things and you're not listening. I taught my children this, and I have to say it, you know, to everybody. Even when we look in the book of Samuel, as we look at Samuel, the one who listened and was used to do what God wanted him to do, you get three principles out of that. To be obedient, you need to stop what you're doing. Now, listen, I tell this to children, but it could be anybody in the room. It's obeying God as well. You stop what you're doing. You know what? Young people, if you don't stop what you're doing when your parents talk, you'll probably miss it. Stop. Look is the second thing. You got to look at them. Look at them in the eye and listen. You know what? When young people are sitting there and their parents are talking to them and you're not looking at them, most likely you are not going to remember what they said. But you're also showing that you don't care. Stop what you're doing. Put everything down. No distractions. Look at them. And then listen. Hear what they have to say. Stop, look, and listen. You get those principles from Samuel. You can go back to it and you can find those there. But a good principle for young people, but adults, it's the same with us. But young people, when if you don't stop what you're doing, listen, you are disregarding what they say. If you're not looking at them, you're disregarding what they say. If you're not listening and you're off in another world, you're not listening to what they say and you're acting as the fool. But you know what? Adults, we can do the same thing with the people that are talking to us. Husband, your wife comes home and she's trying to tell you what's wrong with, you know, the finances, and she's looking at this and you're like, yeah, whatever. Listen, you're not going to get anything from it. Is there a concern to learn? Is there a concern to gain? You know what? The wise ear is going to be trying to gain in every circumstance that they're in. Every time they come to church, they're listening and they're wanting to learn. Maybe they learn what they ought not to be. Maybe they ought learn what they should be. But always learning, always gaining. And I'll tell you what, husbands, you will be the better man if you will continue to listen and learn. Wives, you'll be the better wife if you will continue to learn and listen from your husband. People in the church, you will be wiser, not because it's me, but when the pastor preaches or the evangelist preaches or the missionary preaches, you will be better when you take as much in as you can instead of just sitting there and thinking, okay, what's next? Give your attention. Let me ask you a question. Is there a concern for instruction? For the fool, he says, I don't need it. I don't need to listen to this. I can do my own thing. I'll come, I'll sit, but I don't need to listen. That's the fool. Oh, but the wise, he that regardeth, he that keeps, guards. You see, there's an opposite side of this. It's a guarding, it's protecting. It says, I treasure this. Why do I want to come to church tonight? Because I treasure what God's word says. Do you get the difference? Why do I listen to my parents? Because I treasure it. I want to be wise. I want to learn. I want to know how to, you know what, young people, I want to know how to wash the dishes. You say, come on, I don't want to learn how to wash his dishes. You know, you ought to learn how to do that. You ought to want to learn how to do the laundry. You know, when your mother is sitting there telling you how to fold, you ought to want to learn. Why? Because it's going to help you be a better individual. I want to learn how to have good devotions. I want to learn how can I learn? There's a difference there. This person that regards it, no, they're not just listening, they are treasuring. Again, can you imagine parents, young people, that your young teenager would sit there and say, I treasure, Dad, every word you say. Dad, would you tell me that again? Because I want to learn it. I want to know it. Dad, would you tell me that again tomorrow? Can I write that down? Can we talk about this again? You know what? Blow some of our socks off probably if our teen said that. But you know what, young people? That ought to be the attitude that we have. There's a concern for wisdom. There's a concern for knowledge. The wise person will regard. He's going to treasure up. Husbands, wives, church members, do you treasure the knowledge that is coming in? We ought to. What does God call that person? Prudent. They're prudent. Prudent, that's a biblically shrewd individual. What it means is they are wise and percept in their perceptiveness. They want to gain. They're shrewd with, they don't want to let anything by. They want to get it all. They want to learn all they can. Christians, that ought to be our attitude with our ears. I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to be the best Christian that I can be. I want to be the best child for my parents. I want to be the best husband I can be. I want to be the best wife. I want to be the best church member and part of the body of Christ. I want to be the best. Not that you're trying to elevate yourself, but trying to just gain and grow. The concern of the ear. This is the wise. Look at chapter 15 and verse 22. Goes along with the same thing, the concern of the ear. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 22, without counsel, purposes or plans, the way we plan our lives, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Now, God tells us here what ought to be our ears doing. Getting other counsel. Getting other advice, going to a multitude of people. Many times in the book of Proverbs does it tell us to talk to a group of people. And you know what? You might never get all of the same advice, but I'll tell you what, you'll be wiser as you get a multitude of counselors. As you go through, you're going to be able to look at that, and there's going to be a direction which you probably should go. And God says that we need to follow that. You see, the fool does not want to get counsel. The fool is proud in his own eyes. The fool says he's right in his own eyes. But he's headed for destruction. The people that are wise are going to go to those counselors. And it says, without counsel, purposes or plans. As you're making plans, you're trying to figure out what you ought to do. Those things without counsel are going to be disappointed. Young people, can I say this? Without counsel, without regard to your authority, you are going to make a lot of mistakes. You mark it down. You're a young person that, you know, and I know men, we're infamous for not wanting to read directions. But I'll tell you what, as young people, as people, we better be people that are willing to, whether I say read directions or get some counsel from other people, and so that we know how to do things. If we think we're so proud that we can do it on our own, the Word of God says right there, as we plan things, we are going to see disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. Why? Because we're proud. We don't need anybody telling us what to do. But what's the opposite? He says there in verse 22, the opposite of that. He said, but in the multitude of counselors, that's an ear that's concerned. An ear that's concerned. They want to know the truth. As they go to other people, it says they're established. That means made firm. That means when we make plans and as we take heed to that biblical and godly counsel, we are going to be established and we'll be right where God wants us to be. Young people, husbands, wives, church members, I want to tell you, that needs to be our attitude, the wise ear. We need to be concerned. The concerned ear. Purposes are established by counsel. Again, children, you want to plan your life, I want to tell you, you need to involve your parents, your authority. Husbands and wives, workers to a boss, all authority. Look at verse 31. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. There it is. God says, you're wise. The ear that heareth the reproof of life. Now, there's a negative context here when we look at the reproof. Sometimes these are things that aren't just wisdom or knowledge. These are tough things to hear. But I tell you what, it's going to make us wise. And the individual that's willing to listen and not just say, well, that's stupid. Boy, the reasons why he says that is dumb. No, listen and take it. You might not see it yet, but take it. That's the wise ear. Our ears must be seeking to learn. That's the wise ear, folks. Seeking to learn. Concerned with learning. Let's look at one more thing, though, about the ear. Look at verse 10 of Proverbs chapter 15. Just a few thoughts here. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 10. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way. He that hateth reproof shall die. Now, point number two under the wise ear, I have the cornerstone of the ear. Basically, this is the foundation of the ear. Now, when you look at that verse, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way. Why does this individual, if we could personify whoever this is, whoever him is, it says that correction is grievous. Grievous is miserable. It's distressing. You know, teens, it's the word describes this. When our parents tell us something, we roll our eyes. We gasp. We moan like, ugh. That's the word right there. Grievous. Correction is grievous. So you've been corrected, it's grievous. It's a burden. It's a bother unto him that forsaketh the way. Now this is interesting because we look at the reasons why. This kind of comes down to the heart issue. The reason why we are the way we are, it's because of what? What does this passage say? Correction is grievous unto him that what? That forsaketh the way. You see, this is an end. He's forsaken the way. This is a selfish hearer. He doesn't want to hear anything that's anything other than what he wants. Whatever he wants, he might listen to, but something else, if it's not, it has nothing to do with their way, then they say no. Correction is, it's a burden. You know what? To receive correction when you're an individual that is already sold out to your own way, it's a bother. Young person, you wonder why every time your parents come to you, and maybe you don't wonder, but let's examine this. Young person, every time your parents come to you and talk to you about a problem, your attitude is, ugh. You know what this verse is saying? This verse is telling us that you've already forsaken the way. You're a selfish individual. You've forsaken the right way. You don't care about that. You have your own way. You've already said no to any other way but yourself. And the heart issue is what? Pride and selfishness. One of the reasons why we won't hear, why we won't listen. Why? Because the cornerstone of our ear is our self. Why is correction grievous to people? Because they have forsaken the way. They're selfish hearers. They themselves are the cornerstone. They're the focus of their lives. And anyone that comes along and tries to correct them is threatening their main objective in life, and that's themselves. Themselves. And by the way, this verse teaches that we better beware. Beware to the hearer that is distressed and hating reproof. What does the verse tell us that is for the person that hates reproof? He that hateth reproof shall die. It's devastating. Folks, this is a big deal. Being a wise hearer is a big deal. If we don't want to be a listener that will hear so that we can be concerned about learning, if that's not us, we're proud, we're not going to take the advice given to us. You know, I'm telling you, this is a dreadful thing. When there's a group of people that have sought the Lord, asked God who their pastor ought to be, and they get that pastor on, they take him as their shepherd, as their leader, and when that pastor comes to them and talks to them and gives them counsel, and they won't take that, I want to tell you something, beware. Now, you say, Pastor, you're just lifting up yourself. No, forget it. Go to the book of Ezekiel in chapter 33 and read it for yourself. The listener that's there that will not take, as the pastor gets up and blows the trumpet and says, listen, you better be careful of this. You know, it's amazing. People go to the pastor and they want advice, but it's usually only if they get the advice that they want to hear. I am telling you that by experience. I have had many people that said, Pastor, we need to talk to you about this. And I just want to say, by the way, the first thing that I am asking people now when they come to get advice from me is if we sit down and they start talking a little bit, I say, okay, let me ask you a question first of all before we go through anything. Do you want whatever God says, are you willing to obey what God says? And you know what? Some people don't come back. What's the problem? This is the kind of here. Their cornerstone is themselves. They don't want. They're just looking for somebody to endorse what they're doing. And you know what? Most of the time when people have come to me for advice, or we have sat down and they said, Pastor, we need to, you know, whatever, and talk like that. Most of the time they have already made up their mind and they're looking for me to confirm what they already think. And most of the time that in my short experience of giving them the Word of God and trying to walk through, most of the time people reject it. Now, as I say this, I'm not trying to blow my own trumpet, but I am blowing the trumpet as a pastor telling you, listen, that is a dangerous thing to do. Not because of me, forget me. Because I'm telling you, I try my best not to give my own advice. I try to research and go to the Word of God and say, this is what I believe God would say to you. But when God speaks to you through a pastor, through somebody else, through a parent, young people, or through another person at church, or through a boss, or through whatever, folks, we ought to sit up and listen. We better be careful not to do it, because the end is destruction when we decide not to take God's counsel. So I warn you and I say, listen, do you want to know the truth? And by the way, as your pastor, I want to help you into truth, but you better be willing to say, I want what God wants before you come in, because we're really wasting our time. We are wasting time sitting down if you don't want to know what God says, because I'm going to give you what God says, whether you like it or not. I'm resolved to do that. I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm going to tell you what God says. As a hearer, and I'm a hearer as well. As a hearer, we've got to have the attitude of saying, okay, I want to hear and I'm going to obey. The danger of not listening to that authority, that counsel, not listening to the reproof, distressed and hating reproof, the Bible says, he that hateth reproof, that means rejects reproof, will not take the counsel, will not take the advice, death. He shall die. Reproof shall die. Shall die. Look at chapter 15 of verse 12. Just a couple more thoughts here. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. You know, a foolish ear will separate those that are close to him. You know, consider this young person. You have an ear that does not want to hear, and you are the cornerstone. You're going to separate yourself with other people. There's going to be division. Relationships will suffer when one will not hear reproof. And by the way, he calls this individual a scorner. And by the way, we've been learning this on Wednesday nights. When we will hate other people because we're not willing to listen and all that, and we divide up, we're really indicating our heart issue, and that's we have a problem with God. We've been learning that on Wednesday nights. We have problems with brothers and sisters. We have a problem with God. It's not just this relationship, it's this relationship as well. One that hates reproof is hating God. Last verse that we'll look at verse 32. Proverbs 15:32, he that refuseth instruction. What does it say? Now that doesn't make sense. One, you know, you just, okay, it's hating God, it's hating other people, but boy, we've just established this person's cornerstone is themselves. But do you realize when you don't care for instruction, you don't care for wisdom, you don't care to be told how you are wrong, and by the way, being told how you're wrong is not easy, right? Anybody like that? I don't necessarily like it, but you know what? If we really take what's being given to us tonight in Proverbs chapter 15, you know what? We ought to treasure it. We ought to value when somebody comes up. I remember, let me just take a sidetrack here for a moment. I remember back in two ministries ago when I was back in Rock Springs. The pastor is not there anymore, but he was the pastor that brought me up. I was the first baby in the church, and he was my pastor all going through. He's a godly man, and I loved him and appreciated him. I'll tell you what, I remember, and you know, as an assistant there, my first couple years in the ministry, I did not know what I was doing. I was very quiet and I was very shy. I had lots to learn. I was, you know, probably thought a poor prospect to be a pastor someday. But, you know, I did the things, I tried certain things, but I remember the one Sunday, my wife will remember the one Sunday, you know, did I preach that night as well? I forget, but I did some things, and I remember I sang a song, and the whole reason I sang the song is because my pastor loved that song. And I sang that song, and you know, And I'll admit, I was doing it for the wrong reason. I really was hoping that he would come. I said it was so wrong, but I should have been doing it for the Lord, and I was doing it for my pastor. But I did that, I sang that song, and I thought it was going to be such a blessing. And I couldn't wait till the end of the service because I thought that pastor was going to come up and just say, man, I really appreciated that song. It was a blessing. Now, you don't know that pastor, so I can say this. But I'll never forget that pastor, you know, I went up to him, and afterwards he came up to me and he said, man, he said, I couldn't hardly hear a word you sang. You know, you sang that song, and he didn't say one thing. He wasn't thankful. He didn't say any positive things. Now, I was hurt. I was hurt. You know, I should have learned a lesson that night, and I did. You see, when I went to him, I was not having the right ear. I didn't want to hear. I wasn't expecting reproof. I thought he was going to give me praise, but I'll tell you what, reproof comes. Had I been right, I should have said, you know what, I want to do a better job. I want to listen to that. Next time I'm going to sing louder. I'm going to sing more bold. You know, I was timid and shy. I didn't, you know, the same, you know, I think the same pastor, no, this was a different situation one time. I was preaching and a pastor came to me and told me, you know, you're too quiet. And I know some of you know that I'm working on that. I'm trying to get louder and do that. But he came and did the same thing. And I was like, oh, it was hurtful again. But you know what? I'm starting to learn. As we get reproof, what's the right response? I can be better because of this. Boy, this has helped me. Thank you, Pastor, for giving me that. Now, next time I sing, I'm gonna do it better. Next time I preach, boy, I'm going to really try to be better. It's hard to get reproof, but I'll tell you what, if we have the right attitude, if we have the right ear, if we have a wise ear, we will increase in learning. Folks, do you have a wise ear? Do we have a wise ear? But notice, in this last verse that we were looking at, verse 32, all of this being said, he that refuseth instruction, it doesn't say is refusing God. It doesn't say is refusing other people. Who is it refusing? He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. Who's the one that's going to hurt when somebody else tells them they ought to do this? Who's the one that loses out if they don't take it? The one that heard. If I walk away from the person giving me reproof and I won't do it, I lose. I lose. Young person, listen. You are the one that loses when your parents talk to you and you disregard it. You lost. Husband, you lose when your wife is talking to you and she has godly counsel and wisdom and she says, we need to go to the Lord. We need to seek counsel. And you do your own thing anyway. You lost. Wives, when you won't listen to your husband's advice and instruction, you lose. You lose. People here at church, you lose when you won't listen to anybody else because you have the right way. You lose. It's very clear. He that refuseth instruction, that's the foolish ear, won't listen. He despiseth his own soul. Let's not be despisers of our own soul. We think that it's rejection of other people, but it's yourself. You lose. But he that heareth reproof, what's going to happen? He's going to become wiser. He'll get that understanding. I want to encourage you. Really, this is about the ear, but this is really about our pride. Let's be learners. Let's be hearers. Let's listen. Let's become wise. Father, would you help us to be wise ears? God, would you help us to listen? Lord, we've looked at the tongue this morning. We've looked at the ear tonight. God, would you help us? Help us to soak it in. Help us to value. Help us to treasure. Help us to listen. Help us to obey. Help us to regard. Help us to take it. Help us to value and treasure. Lord, help us that we will value the words that you teach us. God, that we can become more wise. Lord, I thank you for your good word and what you're trying to teach me, oh God. Would you help me to be a learner? God, help me not to disregard it. Help me not to despise it. God, I pray for the young people in this room. Lord, there might be some young people that have a struggle and a trouble with listening to the reproof that their parents give or their teachers or their bosses or whoever they are. Lord, I pray that you would work in the young person's heart tonight. Lord, and if you've spoken to their heart, God, I pray that tonight they would get it right, that they would be willing to humble themselves and say, listen, I've been wrong. I've been sinful. I'm in a dangerous position. God, would you forgive me, knowing that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, I pray that tonight there'd be some young people that would get some things right as they have disregarded the instruction of their parents. Lord, maybe there's some husbands and wives out here this evening that they have not been regarded the instruction. They don't count it a blessing to be able to consult their spouse and things, and they disregard it all the time. Oh, God. Lord, I pray that they would get it right. Maybe there's some church members here, people that attend church that they feel like they're smart and they're wise and they know it all and they don't ever listen to other people. God, I pray that you convict their soul and convict their heart, that they would get it right and say, God, help me to be a learner, a teachable person. Help me to be a wise listener. Lord, whatever the case, whatever the relationship, whatever the occupation, whatever the position, God, if you've spoken to hearts, Lord, I pray that we'd respond. I pray that we'd respond this evening. God, we don't want anything between us and the Savior. Lord, if this has been something that's been in between us and you, Lord, help us to get it out tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.